news of the day, as you heard T-Bone mention, is Brandon Saad signing the contract with the St. Louis Blues. It's back BK and Ferrario with BK and Tanner Hendrickson. I'm Alex Ferrario. And now we head to the Brown and Crouppen celebrity line and welcome in the little guy with gumption, the TV analyst for Fox, or for Bally Sports Midwest, that is. And he was on free agency yesterday on the NHL Network. It is Darren Pang. Panger, how are you today, buddy?
I am doing fantastic. This is obviously some good news for the Blues that they make a splash into the UFA market and get a real quality player there. So I'm sure that that excites a lot of our fans and gets everybody geared up for what's going to be ahead of here.
Well, Panger, I introduced you as the little guy with gumption, and frankly, I think the Blues got another little guy with gumption. Brandon Saad, we saw him play against the Blues with Colorado. We saw him have success in the postseason. What are your thoughts on the former Blackhawk and Avalanche, now a St. Louis Blue?
Well, one thing that Brandon Saad is he's consistent. You know, every player is going to go through some dips along the way, but I think the way that he plays, I just listened to part of his conference call, and I agree with it. I think he's a player that fits in with the way that the Blues play, up and down the wing, a good skater, strong on pucks, you know, doesn't just give them up, which he actually made a point of that. And that's a strong point, because the Blues are still going to be a team with that identity, that we're going to hold on to pucks. We're going to wear you down. And we're not just going to give it up in a hopeful fashion. So a guy that's won a couple of Stanley Cups, played on a very good team in Colorado, went far in a couple of different years, disappointed that they didn't win. And to get him here in St. Louis is a big ad for Doug Armstrong. You know, a really big ad, because I think he really fits the bill with this team.
Panger, the other thing that I love about the addition, especially coming off of what was such a difficult season for the Blues with injuries, is his ability to stay available. He had 78 games in 2013, and then he played at least 78 each of the next five seasons. Last couple of years, he's been available for Chicago and Colorado as well. How important do you think that was for the Blues to be able to add somebody that's shown so much dependability?
Yeah, I think it is very important. When you do your research on players and you're going to spend the kind of money that they're spending on players that you really don't know, because they've never been inside your locker room, you're trusting the fact that that the history tells you that he's been, you know, a reliable and dependable player. You know, but you certainly don't want somebody to come in and then next thing you know, in 3 weeks they're injured, or in 7 weeks they're you know, they're pulling the chute because they've got some injury that's maybe not very serious. I mean, you want to know what these players are all about. You want to know that these guys want to be in the sweater. They want to be walking down the runway. They want to be jumping on the ice, and they want to be put in winning situations. So, I mean, listen, Brandon Saad played for some, obviously, a great coach in Chicago and won cups under Joel Quenneville. The demands of a Joel Quenneville and a Craig Berube, they're high, because they're both winning coaches. So that's where I think that Brandon Saad's not going to be, he's not going to shy away from somebody. You know, Craig Berube asks him to do something and gets tough on him, he's okay. I mean, he's not, you know, you're not bringing in a player. I guess to get to the bottom line, this is what worries me about bringing in players from losing environments. How are they going to be when you push them a little bit? How are they going to be when the pressure's on? And so that's why I like Army going in here to Brandon Saad, because he has been in winning environments and knows what it takes, and has played for a top shelf coach, you know, in Chicago as well as in Colorado, and now he's going to have one of the great ones here in Craig Berube as well.
Panger, we all know a few years ago Doug Armstrong saying that, you know, the Stanley Cup window is open for about 5 years. After the moves of Buchnevich last week and now with Brandon Saad, how do you feel about that Cup window for St. Louis?
Yeah, well, I believe that this was the plan of Army and the ownership, and I think they're right on track, regardless of what happens to Vladdy Tarasenko. You know, I look at the line combinations, and I don't have Vladdy in there because, you know, he asked for a trade, and, you know, I'm going to assume that ends up taking place. And if it doesn't, then we slide 91 in there at some point. But, you know, now you look at it and you have Saad and Buchnevich on the wings. Now maybe you don't have to throw, you know, a left-hand shot on the right side or a right-hand shot on the left side. And you know, you got, I mean, I like it, because I think last year without Oscar Sundquist, you kind of forget about him not being there.
Yeah.
And, you know, late in the year, maybe Jordan Kyrou's game, slipped a little bit, but man, he had some great moments, and he's only going to get better. So Robert Thomas, the same thing. I mean, ended not on a great note. Well, that's not the player that he's going to be. I think he's still got such great upside, and I've got great hope for Robert Thomas. So, I mean, but having two genuine left wingers, fill those spots, man, that puts everybody else right in their spot, right in their position. Whether Saad's a number two or a number three, I think it's always going to be interchangeable during the year, or Buchnevich as well, based on the way they're playing or the way the lines are rolling. But, at the end of the day, you don't want to ask a fourth line left winger to be a second line left winger and expect to be a champion, because it's not going to happen. I think that's where the Blues have put themselves in a really good spot here.
Darren Pang joining us for another couple of minutes here on 101 ESPN. Panger, you mentioned Buchnevich as a left winger there. I know there had been some talk over the last few days. He's a lefty, but most of his time in New York was spent on the right side. Do you think that's going to be a difficult transition for him, or do you think he'll kind of seamlessly fit in there, especially if he's playing with O'Reilly and Perron?
Yeah, it's always, until you see the player, and it's a very good question, because until you see the player on a regular basis, you don't know. Like, when David Perron first came into the league, I mean, he was shoved onto that left side a little bit, preferred the right side. Young player like Jordan Kyrou during the course of this year, a natural right winger. They tried to, bump David Perron over to the left and have Kyrou on the right. But at the end, David Perron's like, hey, I've been around the league a long time, and I'm better on the right side. We'll stick the young guy on the left side and let him figure it out, just the way I had to do later, before. So, I mean, if it doesn't work, we'll know right away. I mean, right away when a player's not comfortable. He can't take the puck off the boards. He's, the puck's getting caught in his feet. He's turning pucks over because it's not the same eye that he's seen from the other side. If that happens, I mean, Craig Berube's a smart guy. He's going to say, okay, boys, let's make a shift. Let's get him over on the strong side. We made a big commitment to him. And we'll make sure he's comfortable to begin with. But I like the players that say, I'll do whatever it takes. And, that you do that for as long as it does or doesn't work, and then you make a change after that.
Panger, back to Vladimir Tarasenko, and I think we all are in the same boat, because none of us really know what's going to happen with Vladdy if he gets moved or if he is a part of this Blues team. But what I am curious about is, you're very familiar with Steve Yzerman's career as a GM and, of course, Doug Armstrong. Do you see this as a really similar situation, what Doug is doing with Vladdy compared to what Steve did with Jonathan Drouin in Tampa?
Well, it's different. I mean, Jonathan Drouin was a young, immature kid. He did the same thing in junior, so he had a little history of doing what he was doing. But I do believe the mindset of the two general managers, they negotiate hard. They say no till the tongue bleeds. They get good contracts. I mean, both Steve and Army, they've got very similar track records. Army's dealing with somebody that he's known for a long time. Steve was dealing with a guy that he didn't know for a long time. And so I think, Army's got a great deal of respect for Vladdy. You guys remember, 4 years ago when, he wanted to make sure Vladdy was okay. He flew to Russia and spent time with his family and came on back. I mean, he does the little things. So I know that, I know that this isn't easy for Army. It's, but he's got to make the best move. Once a player says, hey, I want to be traded, you've got to accommodate that player. It's hard for that player to come back. Now, if he happens to come back, it's only because Army had no other options and there was nothing out there that worked for Doug Armstrong on the St. Louis Blues. But, my feeling is at the end of settling down here with free agent frenzy, the drafts ended, the expansion drafts ended, most of the general managers in August really take their time off, but that doesn't mean they're not making deals and getting something ready for training camp. So, Army just continues to work the phones and getting plans set into place, even though it might seem quiet right now.
Panger, the last question that I've got for you. Are there any teams that you think make sense? I know yesterday you were helping out with the coverage nationally for free agency, and now with the dust settling officially on a lot of those moves, there are some teams that were kind of left without a dance partner for that scoring punch in their top six that they might have been looking for. Do you think there's any in particular that makes sense that could be a suitor for Vladimir Tarasenko?
Yeah, it's a good question, because he also has some, some say in this whole matter of certain teams. But, funny, everybody was waiting for Lou Lamoriello and the New York Islanders to make a move. So if that's the team you were talking about, that's been awfully quiet there on the island. Mm-hmm. And so I just got back to my hotel, and I'm heading to the studio again in about an hour. But, You know, there's been some talk because they actually, this is just me looking at their team. They've got such a good, solid team, but, you know, they don't have much spark on the wings, many game breakers. So would it make sense? I believe it would, if that's a team that he would, you know, be good to go to. Do the New Jersey Devils make any sense? You got Marty Brodeur over there running the shift. He's fully aware of Vladdy and what he can do. And they always need to make a spark. They just, you know, made a couple of big moves there with Dougie Hamilton and Jonathan Bernier. So maybe a couple of teams on the East Coast here.
Yeah, those are two of the three that we mentioned. We mentioned those two and then Carolina as well, because they were reportedly at least involved with potentially offering a contract to Brandon Saad as well. So maybe those three teams would be potential landing spots for him. Hey, Panger, thanks so much for hopping on with us today. We sincerely appreciate it. I know you're unbelievably busy this time of the year. So thanks for coming on with us, and we'll talk with you again soon.
Can't wait to see you guys, and look forward to it. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Panger.